Welcome to Something Wicked This Way Comes, the first ever episode of What Will God's Willing Be Many, Many to Come. My name's Amy, it's a pleasure to meet you, and I'm less than a month away from turning the big 4-0. That's right, 40 years old. It's super weird, even me hearing it out loud. So you're probably curious as to what this podcast is about exactly. And you may have some ideas from the title, and I promise you, you won't be far off. But if I had to boil down the purpose and direction of this podcast very simply, I would say I want to make my life magical again. I want to uncover that magic that I had as a child. The enjoyment of waking up and wondering what was around the corner, curiosity and learning, beauty, imagination and wonder. All those things that we identify with as belonging to the innocent. And so we're kind of coerced into this idea of adulthood, and I believe we're sold a bill of goods, basically. I would personally go so far to say that we've been swindled into stopping believing in things and removing all excitement from the daily diet, and that somehow we've been told that this is a necessary and almost desirable transition, that we must relinquish all imagination for that weekly pay packet and a 9-to-5 schedule. And we're served up a dish of goals like buying a house, having kids, finding a perfect partner and staying with them for the rest of your life. And somehow on top of all that, getting to the top of your chosen career ladder. And I'm just not willing to do that anymore. So yeah, I want to pair everything that was good as a kid with everything that is good as an adult. And in adulthood, I believe that if you learn from your experiences, you get to a point where you realize that no matter how much you learn, you will never know much at all. And I think that's a really good place to be in and very humble, because you're a perpetual student in a way, and that helps you to keep learning and keep the joy of learning alive. So I want all that stuff together, and the way I want to do it is through learning the practice of witchcraft. And you don't have to be a witch to listen to this podcast, because I also want to go into the more general occult practices and teachings, and even more general than that, more self-development based stuff to help us progress in life, but also to help us find enchantment again. So that could be magical workings like manifestation, but also things like analytical psychology. It's a bit of a mixed bag. I'm unsure of how it's going to work out exactly at this point, but I have divine faith that this podcast is what I'm meant to do right now in my life. So you yourself might be a witch, you might be pagan, you might be a little bit witch curious, or you might just be any age. You could be a mum like me, or you're not interested in having kids, or you're somewhere in between. But the common thread that holds us all is we have hope that there is magic in life to be had still. And I will say that just in this past year or so, when I realized that this is really what I wanted to do and this is how I wanted to direct my life going forward, that I've had such a mindset shift around so many things in my daily life that I promise you, we will get there. There absolutely is magic to be had. There absolutely is enchantment to be found. And I think the longer you listen to this sort of stuff, it'll really start to change your world. So have hope, my friend. I'm here to uncover the magic with you. So there's this podcast that I absolutely love, and it's responsible pretty much for inspiring me to start this one. It's called The Comfy Cozy Witch with Jenny Blonde as the host. Now, I love podcasts, and I'm definitely looking forward to doing a couple of episodes specifically on podcast recommendations so we can share the amazing ones that really make us feel that magic while we're listening to it and entering their world. And I think in that respect, at least, Jenny Blonde has it down pat. This podcast is comfy, it's cozy, it's witchy, it's on brand all the time, and it's such a vibe. And she's very natural with it as well. So you feel like you're talking to a witchy mentor who's also a friend and just having a pot of tea with you over the bench. The only bad thing I would say about it, though, is that she doesn't do enough episodes. I know she's a mom, and I think she's also a fur mom. She's working a shop and she just has a life. So yeah, I understand busyness is real, but I just love her stuff so much and I binge it so much that I just want episodes to come out more often. One of the things Jenny does each episode is that she talks about something that is making her feel comfy and cozy and witchy. And I thought since I love that part so much that I would riff on it a little bit. And something that's making me feel magical right now is the weather. Because I feel like whether you're in the city or you're in the mountains or it's coastal or you're in the country, every place has its particular beauty as it heads into winter. When I was a kid, I remember I used to stand at the top of the nature reserve that was just outside our backyard when it was windy, and I'd put out my arms and just tingle my fingers like the wind was coursing through me and I was creating the magic and making the wind go a particular way. That I still feel like elements such as electricity and other energy is in that wind and it's magic. And we've just moved house like really recently, I think in the last 2 weeks, just over Easter. And the first signs of winter are just tiptoeing in. Daylight savings is coming to an end. It's getting darker and harder to get up in the morning. And where we've moved, it's still Sydney where we were before, but it's a bit more regional. So it strangely feels like we're out in the country and a bit away from the grime and bustle. It's very welcome change. And I can go out in a backyard here. I only ever had a balcony in our apartment, but I can go out in a backyard and just see this black sky at night with all these cold white stars and just get lost in it and be inwardly quiet and awed for a while if the kids have gone to bed. It's really making me feel magical. And I'm visualizing getting a fire pit out there because I think it'll be so good to just be able to sit out there and maybe toast some sandwiches or some marshmallows or have a glass of red wine in a cozy blanket and just chill. I think that would be truly magical. So watch out for when I get my fire pit because it will be a magical day indeed. The type of magic that I wanted to dive into today is something that's actually very relevant to what's happening right now with us on this podcast. And it begins with the understanding that you and I are in the middle of a spell that is being cast. This podcast. And just as I say that, I realize that the word podcast has cast in it, which is just total kismet. But what I mean is that yesterday, for example, the podcast in its final form at least didn't exist. And to you yesterday, I didn't actually exist either. You had no idea who I was in the world, and yet today you do. Is that not crazy? It's like this concept of what this podcast is has been birthed, and you and I are creating a type of magic together because I'm streaming into your ears with my voice, and then my thoughts that I've put together are being responded to by you with your own thoughts and creations and tangents as you're absorbing what I'm saying. And the other beautiful magical thing about starting something and pulling out that potential and making it real is that you shape it and it's ugly and you just keep refining it. You go along, you keep refining it a bit more. You see little bumps pop up that weren't there before, but if you just keep up with it, if you just keep showing up and pouring your energy and focus and practice and your workings into it, it walks out of the kiln with this life of its own and it begins to circulate and move around its energy that becomes separate from the actions of its host or creator. So you and I are actually making magic together. You will eventually have thoughts and tangents and patterns that are produced completely without my knowledge. And it'll have its origins or influence in something that I've said, but it'll go on without me ever knowing that it exists. And to me, all of that is super magical if you think of magic being something that can manipulate energy. And so the beginning of this podcast deserves to be celebrated and just infused with good intention for its life journey. Just like the birth of a new baby is celebrated with happiness and blessings for the new life, and then all the hope and enchantment of what's ahead for that little baby. So I've gone searching to see whether there's a particular type of magic or witchcraft that I could attach to the opening episode. And I came across this term, and I think this type of magic could be an umbrella term for a number of different practices because there's heaps of witchcraft and magic that uses this. So that is sympathetic magic. So what's sympathetic magic? Well, it's the belief that actions performed on a symbolic representation can influence corresponding outcomes in the real world. And if we look into the history of sympathetic magic, a number of ancient cultures have used it in specific ways. In ancient Egypt, they used sympathetic magic in relation to the deceased. So they believed that the deceased would continue to perform tasks and labor in the afterlife, similar to what they did in their earthly life. And to help them in these tasks and ensure they had a comfortable afterlife, ushabtis were included in tombs as a type of magical assistance. So ushabtis were typically small figurines that could be made of various materials, clay, wood, even precious metals like gold, and they were crafted to resemble the servants or workers. And not only that, they were inscribed with magical spells or texts from the Egyptian Book of the Dead. And the spells inscribed were intended to animate these ushabtis, these figurines, and compel them to perform tasks on behalf of the deceased in the afterlife. Ancient Greek and Roman societies also used sympathetic magic in the form of curse tablets, and they wrote inscriptions on metal or lead sheets to bring harm to their enemies. In medieval Europe, they created poppets, which are little doll-like figures, to harm or heal someone, and they would use herbs and natural elements, believing in the power of the charms and the amulets and the ability of these dolls to mirror what was happening to the person they're attached to or connected with. In plenty of indigenous cultures, they use things like animal parts for rituals, believing that the animal parts convey that animal's strength or qualities, or creating symbolic representations of certain things in ceremonies to bring about desired outcomes. Now, sympathetic magic comes in two forms. So you have the law of contagion, that things once in contact continue to influence each other even after they've become separated. So this could be objects, this could be people, it could even be actions. And people in certain eras would make sure that their and their loved ones' hair clippings or nail trimmings were carefully disposed of to prevent them from falling into the wrong hands, because they knew that those things contained a person's essence that could be used against them in magic rituals by someone who was feeling vengeful. You also have the law of similarity, which is things that resemble each other are connected and can influence each other. And in magical practices, the law of similarity is often utilized through symbolic representations and rituals. Like we said before, creating a poppet or a voodoo doll, for example, to represent a person, and then performing actions on that poppet or doll were expected to affect the actual person in similar ways. Now, there are plenty of ways you can use either of these laws of sympathetic magic to make the beginning of your project or your creation that you're wanting to do, or even a new phase of life, a bit more of a momentous occasion. For contagion, you could take a special object of your choosing that you wish to attach to the project or the creation. You could have a key to symbolize an opening doorway of somewhere new, a crystal, a piece of jewelry that you then consecrate with your intentions for the project with a blessing or a ceremony. And then you can wear this jewelry or hold this crystal each time you're working on the project. You could also create a memory box or an altar space that is dedicated to your project or new phase, and you could fill those spaces or that box with meaningful objects and photographs and intentions that are written down. And this is with the idea that every time you go to open that box and play with those things inside the box, or read the inscriptions that you've written, or visit the altar that you've made for this project or creation, that you're actually reinforcing your intentions and connections for that project or creation. And you can do things even digitally with a vision board, like ones that they have on Pinterest, or you could draft up a plan in your Notion or similar note-taking app. Using the law of similarity, you could have a visualization or a meditation session, and you can mentally connect there with whatever symbols or images represent your desired outcomes. So as for me, I'm going to draw on the law of similarity to celebrate and bless this podcast birthing into the world. And I also want to infuse it with success and longevity, because I am a great beginner of projects. Like, I have no shortage of ideas. I'm great at taking the first action, but I'm less inclined to keep going, keep showing up, being consistent with things and completing projects. So I really want this one to both have a really great beginning, but also a really great, lengthy, extended, awesome growth period. So on my desk, I have a red candle that smells really good and witchy, I think. The candle itself's made by one of my favorite candle brands, Career Ferrez. They're known for their true to life scents, and they've got a history in wax making, and they draw inspiration from the scientific endeavors of the 18th century. So they're very botanical in nature. And the hero product, which I like to light in the kitchen, is their tomato candle, but this one is their Siberian pine and winter rose candle. And it's rosy and piney, obviously. It's just green and crisp, and it reminds me of the fairy tale Snow White and Rose Red for some reason. So I think that's pretty witchy. But the candle itself, with its red color and also with its heat, is meant to symbolize passion and warmth and the excitement of beginning the podcast. And as I light the candle, I can feel that welcoming energy that I want to extend to the listeners of the podcast, and I'm visualizing welcoming you guys into this space so that you can pull up a chair and get comfy. I've also made a peach Bellini, which it's pretty easy to do. It's just peach nectar and sparkling wine, champagne if you have it, but you can also use something like kombucha or whatever. And I put it in like something I can only properly categorize as a chalice because I really like theatrical glasses to drink things out of. And for me, the peach Bellini symbolizes that celebration aspect of it and the joy and abundance. And the sweetness of that peach is going to reflect the sweetness of embarking on a new adventure and achieving certain milestones. So as I'm surrounded by these symbolic elements, I'm going to speak my intentions for the podcast out loud. I bless this podcast with creativity, inspiration, and the power to reach like-minded people who are looking to reconjure that magic in life. May it be a space where these listeners find joy, learning, and a renewed sense of enchantment in their lives. May it grow and flourish and connect us through our shared experiences and discoveries. I release this energy into the universe. Okay, exciting. You guys have been part of a spell. I hope you were okay with that. Seems like as good a time as any to wrap up the first episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed making it. Where can you find me at this early stage in the process? Well, I happen to be on YouTube. I'm both at the official Something Wicked This Way Comes channel, but I also have another YouTube channel called Temple, so you can check me out at either of those. And finally, remember that the world is indeed magic, and that one of the most magical things in this world is you. See you next time.